from the beginning?
No. I hit record, so it should be recording, and it shows on your screen that we are recording.
It is. It is.
Okay.
Let's wait for, let's give Raymond a second to get back on.
Okay. All right, I think I'm back.
Okay, Raymond.
Okay.
I had to kick my kid off his Xbox, but hopefully. Hey, hopefully
Richard, are you on the Xbox?
I think we could submit this to Saturday Night Live.
All right, let's move along to item number 7, our water operations business. Cammie, I understand Kevin might not be able to make it.
Yes, he's been out at a well site all day, but the daily log has just been the typical for the month, just the typical checks. Remember that for March, about 3/4 of the month was North Star served as our water operator, and Kevin O'Shea took over that last week of March, given that Drew's availability. He couldn't because he had to stay home with kids with everybody being at shelter in place. And so so he took over for that last week of the month. So everything has been going as expected.
Okay. What about an update 7.2 on the work orders? Did he pass along a pass down on those?
So I know that R&R, he worked with R&R Horn, I think, to do that fix on Marsh Court, and I believe he also took care of the Via Calle Court leak, and I will follow up with him on getting a summary of those work orders, just so we can close them out.
Okay. Do we have any comment on those? Any director or comment on either of those?
Yeah. So on the two fixes, if we could just get a email summary on those two fixes, that would be great.
Are we going to be able to estimate cost on those as well, or?
I will. I'm not sure from the R&R Horn perspective, although I have been in communication with the R&R Horn for a status update of their invoices from two previous fixes. So I am working with Haley in their office to get a complete list of outstanding invoices that they haven't sent. They've had some turnover and changes in their office, so they're getting caught up as well. So she and I are coming up with a work order process. I think that they sometimes get the calls and the guys go out and do the repairs, but there hasn't internally, we'll just both have a process so everyone stays in the loop, and so that we can also get the anticipated costs of the fixes, so that if they're over our amount where we need board approval, we want to make sure that we stay consistent with that policy.
Okay, that sounds good. So like Kevin said, let's just go ahead and have maybe get that emailed out, not just on the work orders, but also if he has a copy of his daily log, have him email that out as well.
That might take some coordination too with North Star, since Drew did the first 3 weeks of March too. So I'll follow up on that.
Okay. Do we have any public comment on the operations business? Okay, hearing none on that. I don't think we need a vote on that, Cammie. Is that correct? This is just a status update?
Yeah, informational.
Okay. Let's move to item number 8. Some old business that we've got to clear up on the water operations and maintenance service agreement. The item in here says that the board of directors consider and approve a 1-year service agreement for operations and maintenance services described in Exhibit A, with option for a 1-year extension at a monthly rate of $2,500 per month. I think everybody has a copy of the.
I can pull it up as well.
Okay.
Right. Sure.
So Raymond, do you have a good connection now?
It's a little spotty, but yeah, I'm getting everything, I think.
Okay, Cammy, you want to kick off maybe an introduction on this, or just give us kind of the high level stuff, and Raymond, since you guys were intimately involved, kind of give us the update.
Sure. So per our special meeting that we had last month, we pursued a contract with Culligan of Chico to provide water operations and maintenance services for the district. We reviewed their scope of work and identified the tasks, and just wanted to clarify with them the expectation of the kind of the level of service that we were anticipating for the district, and maintaining the level of service that we that we've had for the last year with North Star and Kevin O'Shea. And so I think that they're on board with what we're wanting from them. The exhibit that is attached, Exhibit A, outlines all of the regular ongoing operations and maintenance, as well as additional regular duties, based on some comments that Director Cooper had. We wanted to clarify some of those things. So I broke it into, we broke the scope into various tasks, kind of separating out the regular daily ongoing operations and maintenance, as well as anything related to system repairs and process for that, as well as the requirements of our daily log and regulatory reporting. They will also be providing our meter reading services, and then anticipation on them attending our board meetings.
So does this include one meeting a month for them to attend?
I did up to two monthly meetings, in case we had either a special board meeting and or we have done some of the operations committee meetings. So we wanted to make sure that they were available for that. Typically it's just one meeting a month, but periodically we do have that extra meeting here and there. So we wanted to make sure that was covered in their scope and the amount that we had identified.
Okay. Raymond, you wanna add anything on that?
No, I think Cammy did a great job summarizing there. Do we have Rex or Greg or anybody on the meeting, or?
I think Rex was going to call in, but I'm not seeing him. There's a couple phone numbers on there, and I don't know if one of them is Rex or not. I guess I can double check his phone number. I can unmute them. I think they can unmute themselves. I don't want to put a guest on the spot.
I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that again?
Which part?
I just didn't hear what you said.
Just now I said I have two guests. We were wondering if maybe one of the operators, water operators, had called in. I have two guests that are on phone numbers, and I'm not recognizing the phone number, so I didn't know if I should unmute them or not. I didn't want to put them on the spot, so.
I don't need Rex or anybody on the phone for me to approve the contract. I think the scope of service is actually very good. Thank you, Raymond and Cammy, for handling that. I think it answered all my questions, and I think it sounds like we're getting a pretty good deal for the services that they're offering under the scope of service. So I will actually make a motion to approve the operations and maintenance agreement with Culligan. Is it Culligan of Chico?
Culligan of Chico, yeah.
Yep, Culligan of Chico for the term of the 1 year term with the option for the second year.
And I'll second that. Yeah, I think we got a pretty good deal too.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to reiterate appreciation to you guys as well for doing this. So, do we have any public comment on the service agreement? Okay, hearing none, Cammie, let's go ahead and do a roll call.
Board Member Phillips?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Chairman Doyle?
Aye. Did you get that, Cammie?
Yes, I did.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. Unanimous. Good job, everybody, on this. Thank you. Okay, let's go to new business. Letter to LAFCO regarding the Tuscan Water District. Jeff, you want to give a kind of a background on where we're at with this?
Yes, if you recall, at our meeting last month on March 17, we had representatives of the agricultural groundwater users of Butte County appear. They are the promoters of the proposed Tuscan Water District, and they made a presentation indicating that basically setting forth the reasons that they felt that they needed a water district. Their intent was to provide landowners in the district with the ability to manage their waters and also to involve themselves in sustainable groundwater planning. They basically feel that they have the great support of the landowners that have signed petitions already to indicate that they are willing to join the district. And on that basis, they asked that we send a letter of support to us. The formation of the district, as you know, has been opposed by a number of people. Rock Creek Reclamation District has opposed it. I know Deborah, who's in attendance tonight, has some very strong feelings about it. I don't know if anybody from Rock Creek is here. The letter, I have prepared a draft letter. I want to be clear what the draft letter says. It basically offers conceptual support to the formation of the Tuscan Water District. The basis is, of course, that the district understands the need for localized control over sustainability efforts to manage groundwater. And on that basis, much as the district has chosen to become a member of the Vine Groundwater Subbasin, it feels that the Tuscan, the landowners that would be members of the Tuscan Water District, likewise, should have the opportunity to seek to manage their own groundwater resources. However, this is conceptual support only. I will read the last paragraph of the letter. We therefore support localized control over sustainability efforts and see the formation of the Tuscan Water District as an effort to protect the groundwater resources upon which landowners and residents within the proposed district are dependent. Our support, however, is conceptual at this time, as the particulars of the proposed district remain incomplete. We will follow carefully proceedings before Butte LAFCO for the formation of the district and trust, as they are fleshed out publicly, we may be able to fully support such. So at this time, we're saying that we understand the notion, we understand the desires of the landowners to have localized control. However, not having seen the particulars of what the district is going to look like, how it's going to be structured and organized, we are not supporting it at this time, but reserving the right to support it.
Okay.
And I'll chime in real quick is that we feel as our district and our constituents of our district that we support local control of their own groundwater, that they have at least a seat at the table and at least a voice in a government kind of setting to be able to control their destiny. Just like Rock Creek has at this point in time has created its own district. We feel like if this district is set up the way that we have the understanding of, that we feel like that it keeps the local control within those landowners to control their water and how it's used and how it's pumped, but also to be able to be a unified voice and to be able to gather funds that are out there that government agencies are able to get based on their formation of their district.
Okay, sounds good, Kevin. I guess we can open this up for public comment at this point. Is there anyone who wants to make a comment, Cammie, on your end?
I don't know. Not seeing. Oh, Deborah has raised her hand. Go ahead, Deborah.
I just wanted to say that I've heard one of the presentations. There are a couple of reasons that I am concerned about the way this is being organized. Number one is refers to the last paragraph of the letter, which we have not really seen the purpose of this district yet in writing. And Rock Creek, while it is its own district, Tuscan Water District is proposing to overlay Rock Creek Reclamation District, which is problematic. And I don't know if anybody from Rock Creek is on the phone or not, but I know that that is something that's causing some consternation. The other thing is, I don't know how many landowners there are in the Tuscan Water District. I know that there are 51 that have organized, but I understand there are about 1,800 other groundwater users there or well users that have not really had any say, and they would be overlaid in this instance as well. I know they're reaching out to people, but I'm not exactly sure how that's all going. Another thing that was stated at a previous meeting that I heard was that the reason they're doing this, one of the primary reasons, is that our aquifer, the Tuscan aquifer, is 20,000 acre feet overdrafted. And that is incorrect. That figure has not yet been released by Butte County, and we're waiting for that figure, but I talked to Paul Goslin and he didn't know where they got that figure, but that is a figure they've been using and it is incorrect. It's much, much lower than that. I just wanted to put that out there. And then another thing, which I'm sure Kevin Phillips can verify, when Cal Water, this goes back to the PID project, but I wanted to bring it up because the PID project is closely tied to this in many ways because surface water is something that's going to be very much needed if ground pumpers are not going to be pumping for whatever reason. And what was said by Cal Water is that if the PID project were to go through, that Cal Water is willing to pay for 12% of that project, but 88% of that project would fall on agriculturalists. So I wanna make sure that that is understood because I think some of these facts are not being properly presented or at least misunderstood for whatever reason. So that's pretty much what I had to say.
Okay, Deborah, thank you. And anybody else raise their hand, Cammie?
I'm seeing.
I see Richard. Okay. Richard's raising his hand.
Good afternoon, gentlemen and lady. I just want to Mr. Carter to note for the record that Mr. Harriman didn't say anything and didn't ask any questions. I'm here as a member of the Butte County Water Commission to listen and to try to remain engaged in the process of following how this project evolves. So I'm going to just sit and listen. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate the accommodation through the Zoom meeting. It's really a terrific way to work. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
We've never had this many people attend one of our meetings. It's a little bit of uncharted waters for us. So thank you.
That's funny. Hey, Matt.
Mr. Chairman, this is Easter, so some of us have arisen and we're planning to join the new year. So thank you for allowing us to join you.
Hey, I have
I think Deborah has a question.
Yes.
I just wanted to let you know in that last paragraph where the third sentence up where it says the particulars of the proposed district remain incomplete, I think is what he said.
I said incomplete. Inchoate is the same word as incomplete. I didn't want to wow people with my lawyerisms.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to make sure which word you were using in the letter because you had two different, you said incomplete.
I used inchoate, but it does mean incomplete. So I can go either way. Richard, what would you call?
I would call your distinction very good, although inchoate tends to mean without form or void. And I'm trying not to comment. I really want to listen to just.
So if going back to incomplete, is that easy to do, Jeff?
Yes, that is easy to do.
I got it. I can't lie. I had to Google that word myself. So I think incomplete, if it's easy to change over, maybe we can make that adjustment.
And I'll say this, Richard. John F. Kennedy said the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who don't take a stand on a matter of contention.
Well, the other quote, Mr. Counsel, is I am not sorry for the things I have not said.
All right, so we will go ahead and make that change on that letter. I appreciate everybody's comments. Is there anybody else with a hand raised, Cammie?
I do not see one.
Okay, so should we go ahead and make a motion to approve it with those changes?
Just one thing on Deborah. You know, I want to make sure that she understands that the PID project with our letter of support here, it's just for Durham irrigation. So I want to make sure that you understand that I am definitely separating myself from the PID project from the Durham irrigation support letter going forward. And that I don't feel like there's any conflict of interest at this point in time with us supporting the Durham irrigation or the Tuscan Water District. I do believe that it is in the best interest of our constituents here that we support. And I do believe that the 20,000 acre feet overdraft is on the high end. And we all understand that it is incomplete on what is the true overdraft of the Vina subbasin. We've heard numbers between 10 and 20. And so I think they're latching onto that 20 number. But without that, even without the number, we think that's in the best interest of our constituents here. So with that said, I will make a motion to approve the letter of support for the Tuscan Water District with the changes stated.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, let's go ahead and go for, any more public comment? Okay, let's go ahead and go for a vote, Cammie.
Board Member Phillips?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Chairman Doyle?
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimously.
Okay, thank you everyone. Let's go ahead and move on to the attorney report. Jeff, you got an update?
Yes, I do. I have received recently from Cammie some North Star billings that were not included on the last that were included on the last summary of the billings that we had for the various projects. I have some questions about those, and in respect of the project for Black Diamond, her new billings didn't include some of the billings that we had previously accounted for. So I don't know if the ones that we previously had accounted for were being overridden. The number that I have given North Star's new billings comes out to $8,778. Previously, the total billings that we had for North Star were $9,548.75. So we need to clarify that. Additionally, we got two new goings from North Star on the Burchard project. There were previously four. The two that I got were confirmed by two that I had previously accounted for, but I didn't know if the other two should be included or if the two that we have are the only North Star billings. So on the Burchard project and Black Diamond project, I need to clarify that with North Star, and then I think we'll be ready to get our letters out to both of those projects to collect the past due amounts owed by them.
What, just to clarify, one of the things that we had asked North Star to do was to separate out the invoices. If you recall, their invoices previously had had all of their line items, and we didn't want to I didn't want to have to redact all of the other things that they charged, or so we wanted to separate it out so the developers could see what was specifically charged to them and not everything that North Star had done for 2 years for the district. And so that's what they did. And so probably going through that process, they may have found ones that were not originally on the list, I'm guessing. So we'll have to kind of rectify those.
But their billing went, the number went down.
Yes, in both instances. So we need to clarify that. If they don't have separate billings for those projects for the amounts that we previously included, then we obviously have to remove those amounts and bill only in the amount that were billed.
Well, I'm glad they reviewed it, but we need to make sure that they are standing behind this, because we're going to send out invoices, and I would say that this is a done deal. If that's what they've submitted, then it's basically their opportunity to adjust is now closed so that we can get billing.
Exactly. I think that could be easily cleared up with Cami on the phone to North Star. If there are no questions about that, I will turn to the revised billing and payment of bills policy that we have. Basically, as you know, laws have changed effective April 1 concerning any discontinuation of water service for non-payment of bills for residential connections. I have revised our bill to include that, those legal changes. I have compared my changes to two other local districts' changes. One is Paradise Irrigation District, which basically was the one who most simply handled the matter by saying, we're not going to discontinue service for anybody, if that's correct. Is that what I understand, Kevin? My understanding is that their position is that these changes in the law are so substantial and truthfully very costly to implement from the standpoint of administration management, that preferable to Paradise Irrigation District would be not to pursue shutting off water, to go ahead and notify people of past due pay bills that have need to be paid, but not to shut off water, and instead at the end of the year to report any unpaid bills for a property to the county tax assessor, which can at that time add it to the tax bill for the property. The tax assessor in those instances, and these opportunities are allowed for irrigation districts, the tax assessor at that time then pays the district while it pursues recovery of that through the tax assessment process. So rather than going through the rather structured manner of steps that must be followed before the district can discontinue water service, for non-payment for residential water services, Paradise Irrigation District has opted to not shut off water at all. The other local district is South Other Water and Power Agency, also an irrigation district. And I can tell you that its addition to its policy is every bit as wordy as mine, if not more so, as every bit convoluted as mine is, given the fact that that's what the law requires. But basically, the changes that I have made begin at page 4 of the billing and payment of bills policy. You'll see under subsection K, a bold title saying discontinuation of residential service for non-payment. It goes from section 1 on page 4 all the way through section 11 on page 9. So our water policy has just increased by 5 pages to take into account the changes in the law. And that holds true for South Feather as well. The reason I have included the title, Discontinuation of Residential Service for Non-Payment, the new legislation requires that our discontinuation policy be published in English, Spanish, Hmong, Tagalog, Chinese, and one other language that will come to me, as well as any other language for which is used by at least 10% of the residents of the district. So I can tell you, translation services run about 10 cents a word. So I wanted to make certain, that's per language, by the way, I wanted to make certain that we just were going to publish not our entire billing policy, but our discontinuation of residential service for non-payment. With that, I think perhaps what the board might focus on first is, do we want to go this route, or do we want to follow the footsteps of Paradise Irrigation District and just not discontinue service, try to recover our bills by notices to the customers, but if there's any unpaid balance as of June 30 of each year, refer that to the county assessor's office, or do we want to adhere to the law with respect to discontinuation of residential water service? And if so, I would recommend that we go with my proposed policy insert.
Well, Kevin, do you have an opinion here?
Yeah, I think we go with the non shutoff policy. The one thing too with it is that if you shut off, you have to have payment arrangements and different things like that. With our limited hours at our office, it's going to create another layer of requiring for people to be able to come in, make payment arrangements, what those arrangements are, how we handle those arrangements. To me, with the powers that we have with the irrigation language, that the formation of the irrigation district, be able to collect those through the property tax assessment process just makes it easier. And we don't have a ton of shutoffs either. So you're talking a very small portion of our district that you're going to eventually lien their property. And once you lien their property, they have a clean slate. So from my standpoint, it just makes it very simple. It probably will save the district in the long run from creating the opportunity for people to create payment policies and keeping up with those. So that's where I see it going forward. And you're collecting, you have 100% of 100%, you're going to collect 100% no matter what. You have no bad debts with this formation of how we are. So that's my personal opinion.
I can tell you that the addition of work to your administrative staff would be substantial, because repeated notices must go out, and you must make an effort to contact the residents too. Additionally, if there is a property that has multiple connections, each one of the landowners in that project would have to be contacted because it would be their water that would be shut off, even though we're only shutting off 1 meter. So administratively, to adhere to the new bill, it would add significantly to your monthly management costs if we were to shut off any waters.
I also just wanted to add, it kind of goes into what I, for the general manager report, in reviewing some of the past due accounts that we have, a majority of them are the renters in town. And so I think as we move forward in working with landowners and leaning properties or getting payments before doing that over the next couple of months, that might alleviate some of the aging component of what hasn't been paid. But I just recognizing that, because I would say probably 80% of those that are 60 to 90 days or more past due are tenants. And so the income, there might be an income component that we might want to look at long-term versus just someone not paying their bill.
And I might add too that perhaps the easiest route to take at this time is to follow the PID model, because if we find that that's not working, there is no problem with our adopting a billing policy that would allow us to discontinue residential service in the future. So I would say the default at this time, assuming that we don't have a large number of unpaid bills that we're chasing after every month, and assuming that staff can handle those through perhaps more proactive methods of obtaining a payment, my thinking is the easiest path at this time might be to follow the Paradise Irrigation District model, knowing that if for some reason this becomes a problem, we can always default back to the policy that would require us to comply with the new law, providing all of the pre-shutoff steps that we have to go through and providing the policy in different languages as well.
So Jeff, question, if I'm have an apartment or a house in Durham and I have it rented and the tenants are paying the water and they've refused to pay, in our policy, the homeowner is responsible for those charges anyway. So if we're not able to collect, it goes 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, six, whatever the time is that it goes, and we reach out to the homeowner, and if we don't get any response from them, then we lien the property?
Yes, if you recall, your billing policy recognizes this lien right that you have to refer unpaid bills to the assessor. So your billing policy provides that the customer is the owner of the property, since the property is the underlying source for payment if the owner doesn't pay the water charges. Our policy also allows us, if the owner directs us to bill a tenant if different than the owner. But in those instances, we bill not only the tenant, but we also bill the owner. So the owner would be getting notice if there were an undue unpaid balance going into the next month. Additionally, anything we do to terminate service now, the notices regarding that go both to the tenant and to the landowner. So we already have built into our billing mechanism the notion that our security ultimately is June 30, and any unpaid bills at June 30 can be referred to the county assessor.
Okay. So do you want to, we need to take a vote on that, is that correct?
I think that it would probably be in order if any member of the board were so inclined to move that we no longer include in our billing policy the discontinuation of water service and instead defer to the policies set forth in the water code for referral to the county assessor any unpaid bills as of 2:30.
We'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any public comment on that item? Okay, hearing none. Cammie, let's go ahead and do our roll call vote.
Board Member Phillips?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Chairman Doyle?
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Okay, great. Let's move on.
You have made six translators very upset tonight.
So you made me happy.
So let's move on to item number 11. Speaking of past due water bills, let's go ahead and jump into the report, Cammie.
From yeah, so I didn't prepare. The only thing I had prepared was that kind of that financial summary at the beginning where we just kind of compared the month last year, this year, and the revenue. Mostly we do have a little more revenue because of our rate increase at the end of 2018. And so just recognizing that. And as I said, I'm working on the aging report that will list out those accounts that are more than 60 days past due. I was hoping to have that available to you today, but I think we got occupied with Zoom meetings and making sure that would function. But just as kind of a summary, what I have discovered with the aging reports and those accounts that are more than 90 days past due are tenants, and also many of those tenants are also being evicted. So I have been in communication with some of the landowners. They do recognize that there are that there is a balance due, and talking with them about setting up some kind of payment plan. And that's the things that we're doing now in establishing our policies and procedures and how we want to move forward will just kind of dovetail right into that. So that's kind of where I'm at with that, wanting to get all of that set up. So going into June, hopefully those landowners will at least either have a payment plan or being able to pay it off. So I think they had bigger issues too. So knowing that a lot of them ended up calling me as I was discovering it. So they had just finally were able to evict some of their tenants.
Okay, so we can look forward to maybe an aging report update on that at the next meeting. If you get something earlier, maybe send it out via email so we can take a look at that and come to the next meeting ready to discuss. I guess it'd be nice to see where we stood on that.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else on your end, Cammie?
I don't think so.
Okay, no actions on that. Let's move to item number 12. Any GSA, Vina GSA committee update, Cammie?
So the next SHAC meeting, well, the SHAC meeting that was supposed to be held next week has been canceled, and they are working on perhaps a virtual meeting for May. So right now, they being the county is polling SHAC members to see what their capabilities are for a virtual meeting via Zoom or some other format. And we're still tentatively scheduled for the board meeting. I think that would have been at the end of the last month of the quarter, so the second quarter. So we'll see how that that goes and what that format will be in May or June. That'd be June.
Much has been on hold due to the coronavirus and the shelter in place. We've had, I think, three meetings now canceled. So we'll have to see what next month brings. The board meeting, I believe, is scheduled for
June.
And so in all likelihood, we'll be able to have the June meeting, and we might be able to have our May stakeholder advisory committee meeting, but we're just going to have to play it by ear.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, let's go ahead and move to item number 13, director's comments.
Could I ask a question, Mr. Chairman, before you move on?
Absolutely, Richard, please.
Through the chair to Jeff, do you have a sense yet from talking with other council that are involved with the GSA meetings, whether or not there's going to be an amendment or other action taken by DWR to extend the time within which to complete the GSPs? Do you have any intelligence on that?
I have none, but I would expect we're seeing it top to bottom statewide, and I would expect we would see a deferral of the deadline by at least 3 to 6 months.
Any idea of when that announcement will be made so we all know what the change of the schedule is?
No.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for letting me ask that question.
No problem, Richard. Thank you. All right. Any other comment from the public? Any other director's comments, either Raymond or Kevin?
I have one. Cammy, I guess I missed this on the agenda, but we had talked about possibly waiving the service fee on the online bill pays. Have you looked into that anymore?
I haven't. I forgot to, we had talked about that and I forgot to put that on there. Don't see me write something down, Raymond. I'm not going to remember. I haven't looked into it. Raymond had made, we were talking about the online bill pay. I noticed that some districts, like Cal Water, I think it was, where I saw they had waived online bill pay fees so that it would allow people or encourage people to maybe pay online versus check or coming into the office for cash since the office has actually been closed. And I did notice that last month I would have to compare previous months, we probably had a slight uptick in our online pay. I'm not sure by how much, but I mean, we don't have a lot of people that use it. I did receive a comment from one woman that did come in and pay cash last month that she would use it, but she likes to not pay the fee. And for her, it was a financial reason that she didn't want to pay the fee. For her, every dollar counts. But I have noticed that other districts have waived the fee during this time. I don't know if it's an indefinite thing, but at least for now, to encourage payments that way, because that just goes directly to the account. I mean, everything else I have to touch, or it has to go through mail and such. So.
And what is our fee?
It's just a percentage of the amount, so it ends up being, and I can't remember the exact percentage since Kristen had set it up, but I think
it ends up being 2%.
Yeah, a couple bucks for sure.
Okay, I think we'd make it up pretty easily, and just in the time spent that we don't have to pay Cammy to handle it,
because it goes right into the account.
Yeah. It goes right into the account, and it also is recorded on Sequoia, so I don't even have to enter it into our water bill software.
Yeah, I know. Every little league team, everything that we do now is all bill pay online only. So the more we can gravitate and move everybody over there, probably the better for us. Administratively, so I see no problem waiving that fee. And are we going to do, Raymond, are you thinking, or were you thinking like a 3-month waiver and then we'll see how it goes?
If I might add, this was brought up under director's comments, there's no indication of action being taken on it. So properly under the Brown Act, we would have to place this on the agenda of our next board meeting.
Thank you, Jeff.
Did we have an emergency declaration on the last board meeting? Local emergency?
I don't think we did.
No.
Because we could give the power to Cammie to do that. But if we didn't declare the local emergency, it's difficult. I maybe on the next agenda, we put the local emergency declaration on there so that whatever issues that might arise through the COVID-19 emergency the declaration by the state and by the feds, that there might be some reimbursement through FEMA through that. But also gives power to the district manager to make kind of decisions like this to make things a little bit easier for the district to conform to the shelter in place and the social distancing, to allow that district manager to waive fees for the specific period of time when this is happening. So,
thank you.
Yeah, I should also mention in along those lines that we have received just information from the Special Districts Association about opportunities for FEMA funding. And so far, I would say it hasn't directly impacted us yet, but I think as people are financially impacted by not working in shelter in place, it could affect us down the line. So I agree with Kevin in that getting something on the agenda would be important.
Okay, that sounds great. We'll put that on the agenda for next meeting. Any other director's comments?
I just want to say thanks to Cammie and to Raymond for the work on that operator's agreement. I think that's great. And then for Cammie and everybody setting up this virtual meeting, it worked pretty well. I've been in some disasters, and this one was not a disaster. So, and this has been a success.
I have to say, having an audience was beyond expectation.
Yep. And thank you guys for joining in, and we appreciate everybody's opinions and listening in, and stay safe.
So with that, any other public comment? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you.
Hey, close this thing.
It says leave.
It's down there.
All right.
Bottom right. I was trying to hit that X up there. Oh. All right, I'm out.
Later.
Okay, now I need to stop recording. That was pause share. Stop, not stop video. Okay, we'll leave more stop share. And good night, Raymond.
Good night, Raymond.
Okay, and
good night. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night, Brady. Thanks for joining us.